Well, we find ourselves again in looking to God's Word for instruction on the series we've been looking at together on the control and influence of our tongues, our speech, our talking. Jesus said that if your heart is pure, purity comes out in your words. And if your heart is evil, it comes out in your words as well. From the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The words we use, the tongues we employ are indeed the window and the announcement of our souls. James went so far as to say, if you can control your tongue, you're perfect. How's that for sanctification? Well, as many of you know, I like to hike. Okay, I like to hunt. I like long walks out in the bush. Enjoy taking my boys out there. We were just doing a little bit of that yesterday morning. But when you're stomping around the bush in Southern California, there's always something you have to be aware of. Wading across the creek, stepping across bushes, crunching through the scrub oaks. And you're always waiting for a certain alarm that could go off. This is an alarm that has no other parallel. It's a sound that will rip fear into the soul of anyone, especially when you hear it up close for the first time. It's a simple sound. It makes me queasy even just to think about it. The sound is that of a rattle. And no, this is no baby's rattle. This is not a little goo-goo plastic rattle. It's so intense, it will pierce your heart with terror, especially when it comes unexpectedly. And that's the sound of a rattlesnake. What I like, though, about living in Southern California with reference to snakes, we used to grow up around water moccasins and copperheads and different little venomous creatures out in the woods in Tennessee, and they could just be up on you before you ever knew it. This is a different kind of animal, though. It actually alerts you to its presence. It's a warning. When you hear that rattle, you know the rattlesnake is there, it's coiled, and it's sending you a message about its presence. It's a warning that the animal feels threatened. So the rattle, in a sense, is a good sound because you know where the snake is. It wasn't long ago, Johnny walked in, and I was in my downstairs office studying, and he busted through the door and said, "Dad, a rattlesnake!" And I'm like, okay, yeah, we see rattlesnakes from time to time at our house, so let me go check this out. Well, he opened the door, and I heard this thing, and I thought, that's not a baby snake. He was going to take out the trash, and when he put the trash in the can, it alarmed the snake that was behind the can. So we went out there. Remember, Johnny, we pulled out the can, and we looked at it, and it was a four-foot rattlesnake. It was as big around as my forearm. And just remember looking at that and saying, huh. So the family all gathered up as I did what every father should do with a rattlesnake and a shovel. And then after it was over and I grabbed it and threw the head away and stuff, we were kind of looking at it. And then Kim says, "Do you realize what you've done?" And I was feeling pretty good about life. I protected my family. Yes, I've been the savior of the moment. I'm the rattlesnake killer. This is going to go on a band around my hat. She says, "Look at your feet." And I was in flip-flops. And she says, "What if that thing had snapped?" Well, I said, well, I wasn't really thinking about that. Rattlesnakes give you a warning. We come to a topic this morning that is just like a rattlesnake. When you hear the rattle, especially in our context, a Western diamondback rattlesnake, you know there's danger. But there's a danger in the world of words as well that is far more dangerous, can have far more lasting implications and applications, and is far more deadly than the venom of a rattlesnake. This danger also has a warning. It's a spiritual rattle. It lets you know the venomous bite is about to happen if you don't take aversive action. Okay? Here's what the rattle sounds like. Have you heard that? Or did you know about Or, you know, I heard. Or, you're not going to believe this. Or, can you keep a secret? Or the rattle could sound like this. Can I trust you as being confidential? Or it sounds like this. Listen, I'm only telling you because I know this won't go any further than you. The rattle could sound like this. You're not going to believe this, but the rattle sounds like this. Just between you and me. And maybe the strongest, loudest part of that rattle is this. If I tell you this, you have to promise me you won't tell anyone. That's what the rattle sounds like, and the bite is called gossip and slander. We've been looking at the evil of the tongue and at the tongue's influential power. And for our time together this morning, I want to invite you into my pain. I told Kim this morning, I would really hope that the rapture happens sometime before I get up because I don't really want to preach on this. A little insight into preaching. Sometimes you come to text and it's kind of fun. You think, this is a great text, glory of God, glory of Christ. Everyone's worship is fantastic. Sometimes you come to text and you think, I know who needs this one. And then sometimes you come to topics and sometimes you come to text and you sit down to study and just think, I really want to die. I don't want to preach. I'm going to become a plumber. I like plumbing. You put things together and it's copper. This should be copper. This has been painful. Been thinking about it all week. In fact, I was telling Mark Jakevich earlier in the week, I was struggling between which of the two sermons I was going to do this week and next week. Between, and I'll tell you what's coming next week, which is joking. Looking at the words that we use in joking. What's appropriate joking? And the more I looked at that and the more I looked at this, my heart just slid right into this because I was just being so convicted about it and I wanted to get it out of the way. Just want us to deal with this together. Gossip and slander. What is gossip? What is gossip? Well, it literally means to speak evil in a whisper. That's what the Greek and Hebrew words intimate. You're speaking evil in a whisper. Why are you speaking in a whisper? Because you don't want other people to hear. Gossip is intended to be contained. And the strange thing is, gossip is never contained. Using your words to arouse a negative response in the hearer about someone not present. There you go. Arousing interest by your words in a hearer about someone who's not present. You don't typically gossip about someone who's present. That's called picking a fight, not gossip. The cousin of gossip is slander. They're not even cousins. They're really indistinguishable twins. We have a few twins in Crossroads Ministry. Some of them I still look at and say, hey, Bridget, and says, no, I'm Tara. So indistinguishable twins. There were two twins I grew up with. I'm not kidding you. Their names were Calvin and Alvin. They lived across the street from me, and I could not tell them apart. My mom was an identical twin, and her and my Aunt Mary would have so much fun in classes. Mom's in heaven, so I can say this. Mom was better at English. Mary was better at math, so she went to two maths, and Mary went to two Englishes, and it worked well. The teachers never caught them. They just wore the same thing every day. It was an amazing thing. I've always wanted an identical twin. Always wanted an identical twin. I know you would not want an identical Rick Holland, but I would love to have an identical twin. Well, gossip and slander are really identical twins. They're different, but they look the same. They feel very much the same. Slander is literally to erode a reputation. Using your words to damage someone's reputation, and by damage, I mean question it, or raise doubt about it, accuse and destroy it. Gossip and slander then go hand in glove. Let me make it very simple for you. Gossip is saying something behind someone's back you would never say to their face. Where slander is saying something, flattery is saying something to someone's face that you would never say behind their back. Flattery looks at gossip and slander and says, we're cousins. We're both doing damage, one behind the back and one to the face. Gossip and slander doesn't happen to the face. Flattery does. So let's kind of pull over this morning. This is going to be a long outline. It's just like last week. There are 10 points. Got a little crazy this week. 10 points, and we're going to look at the ugly facts about gossip and slander. And what I would ask you to do, there's a lot here because we'll be looking at Proverbs predominantly, is pick out something that you think the Lord would have you to think about, to apply, to study, and don't try to drink the whole fire hydrant. Just see what the Lord might have for you. The ugly facts about gossip and slander. By the way, this is not a recent phenomenon. Titus chapter 2 says, older women, talking about having order in the church, older women are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips. Paul understood when he was telling Titus to make things right in the church that if gossip is allowed not only to come to fruition, to be birthed, but allowed to go unchecked, the church will be out of order. Now, I know what all of you are thinking. Yeah, I know someone who gossips. No. We're talking about you. If at any point during this sermon, except for one point, and I'll tell you about that when we get there, you're more concerned about someone you know who's gossiped or who's gossiping rather than yourself, just stand up and say, I have been tricked by the devil. Want everyone to know it. Because that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to sit here and say, ha, man, I know about 10 people who I want to listen to this thing. In fact, I'm going to call them on the phone and just put on speakerphone. Just listen. They're talking about you. No, I'm talking about you. This is one of those sermons where someone comes up to you after you preach and they say, you know, it felt just like I was talking to you. I am. I love it when people come up, you know, you were looking at me in the sermon. Were you preaching at me? No, everybody but you. Just preaching around you. Didn't want you to apply it at all. Of course I'm preaching at you. The ugly facts about gossip and slander. Number one, gossip is our attempt to be God. Let's just call it what it is at the beginning. Gossip is our attempt to be God. To understand this, you need to go back over to James. We've looked at James already. But there's a passage that we left for this time. James chapter 4, verse 11. Now listen to this in the context. He says, do not speak against one another. There's talking about one another, brethren, which is a gossip context. He who speaks against his brother or judges his brother, that's very interesting. When you speak against someone, you're judging them. Speaks against the law and judges the law. In other words, you're making yourself higher than God's word. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. You're not the standard, is what he's saying. Verse 12. There's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. The one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? What James is saying is very insightful. He's saying when you speak against another, you're judging someone. When you judge someone, you are assuming that you are the judge, ergo, God is not. You see that? When you take the evaluating posture, when you take the I know what's in a person's heart, when you take the I know that's right, I know that's wrong, and I'm going to tell people about it, you have just said, I am God. Only God is judge. That's what he's saying. There's only one God, only one lawgiver, only one judge. Who are you to try to be the judge? Our gossip and slander is our attempt to bring or make judgment on another person. And even worse than that, it becomes your way to spread your self-appointed deity and perspective to another person when it's wrong. You're influencing the mind of someone to think about someone else. There's only one God, only one lawgiver, and only one judge, and he's not sitting in one of the seats in the gym today. Secondly, number two, we'll come back to that one. God has a special hatred for gossip. God has a special hatred for gossip. You can turn there or you can just listen. We're going to be in Proverbs for a while. Proverbs chapter 6. This is the famous section where we find out what God hates. There are seven things that he talks about hating here. In Proverbs 6, verse 16, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Now we hear the unique sins that God hates. And by the way, listen to how many of them are attached to what you say and how you say it. Haughty eyes, that's being proud. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil. A false witness who utters lies. And here it is, one who spreads strife among brothers. That is gossip and slander. This is one of the seven things God picks out and says, I want you to know I specifically have an intense, unique hatred for these sins. And if you take this as I think it's intended, there's a little bit of a crescendo going on. He says, listen, if you're one of those people who's spreading strife among brothers, I hate what you're doing. I hate what you're doing. That's intense. To know that God hates specifically what you're doing. And here he hates that you're spreading strife among brothers. Why does God hate gossip so much? Why does he hate it so much? Why does gossip make this list? Because he loves us so much. You can just listen, but James 3, verse 9 tells us, with our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with our tongue we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. You are talking about someone he created, someone he loves uniquely and genuinely. Ah, but they're not a Christian. All the more reason to be kind and gracious to them. Kind and gracious about them. Did you know that it's very rare that a gossip is not caught? It's very rare. It's one of the most easily identifiable sins in the spectrum and the scheme of reaping and sowing. A gossip almost always gets caught as a gossip. Oh, maybe not initially, but eventually. You know, I as you know, I love my wife, I love my family, I love my boys. If you wanted to come up and say something really bad about my wife, if you were a lady, I would get you some counseling. And if you were a guy, I would punch you in the mouth. Hard. I may be little, but it would hurt. I can promise you. You say, wow, that would be so ungodly. Really? Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips are bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. You know, we kind of laugh about that. That's how God feels about his people. He doesn't want us talking badly about them because, as we saw in James, we're becoming judges. We're becoming God himself in our own mind. God hates gossip. God hates gossip. Number three. Here's some insight. A gossip is a fool. A gossiper or a gossip is a fool. Proverbs 10:18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Conceals hatred. Isn't that just like gossip? Oh, you act like you're the friend in person, and then you just have nothing good to say about them behind their back. Why is a gossip a fool? Well, Jeremiah 9:4 tells us, let everyone be on guard against his neighbor and do not trust any brother. Oh, that's encouraging. Because every brother deals craftily and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. What is Jeremiah saying? The truth. Be on guard. Be on guard. People talk. Those who slander and gossip cannot be trusted. That's the point of Jeremiah 9:4. If you gossip and you slander, you can't be trusted. And let me give you a little scary footnote. Ready? Got your seatbelt on? Listen to this. If a person is gossiping to you, what makes you think they won't gossip about you? They already demonstrated they're not a good friend to someone else. So what makes you think that you're going to be a friend to them? And here's the insidious part of it. Is gossiping people start talking about each other, and they've got everybody figured out. And then I realize that they're going to go to the other person, and you probably too are going to go to someone else and get you figured out. Really? You're foolish if you're a gossip. You don't understand cause and effect. Gossip is not a private sin. It's a shared sin. How bad is it? Number four, gossip and slander separate friends. Gossip and slander separate friends. This is hard. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Proverbs 16, 28. Proverbs 17, 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Let me ask you an honest question. Can you, probably won't take very long, can you in your mind rewind the tape to a friendship that has suffered damage, maybe even been severed, because someone gossiped about you or that person? Someone got in the middle of you and started talking. Since gossip and slander destroy trust, where you find a slanderer, you find broken friendships. You find a person who is constantly embattled. And you know how gossiping and slandering people get out of gossip and slander? By gossiping and slandering the people who confront their gossip and slander. It's a strange thing. Footnote. Don't let what a gossiper says about someone destroy your friendship with them. Let the gossip destroy the friendship you have with the gossiper, the slanderer. And according to Proverbs 18, which says you're a fool if you decide a matter before hearing both sides, when a person tells you this tale of this person and their character, don't be so quick to believe it. Oh, there may be some things true in there, but there's a whole other side of the story that you're not privy to at that moment. Number five. This is going to be hard. It's going to hurt. Gossip is easy with your family. Gossip is really easy with your family. Proverbs says so. Solomon says in Psalm rather, 50, verse 19, let your mouth loose in evil, and let your tongue flames deceit. And your tongue flames deceit. Frames deceit. Let me start the verse over. Let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, and you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and kept, I've kept silence. You thought I was just like you. I'll reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. We often quote that verse that God is not like us. We thought God was just like us. The context here is we think God is like us in that God is a gossip. God's a slanderer. Or that he'll understand us specifically. Oh, we have the right to say this and that about this person and that person. Specifically here, he's talking about your brothers, your sisters, your mom and your dad when they're not around. Now, everybody look up. How easy is it for you to be the expert of all things parenting when your parents are not around? Have you ever said, you wait till I'm a dad. You wait till I'm mom. You know all those books about parenting? They're going to throw them away and just write my biography. Parenting with your picture on the cover. Or how about your brother or your sister? You ever slander your brother or your sister to your parents? Usually you do that for your own gain. I mean, the psalmist clearly says here, you speak against your mother's offspring. Remember that the wounds that are closest are always the most painful. You know why it's easy to gossip against your brothers and sisters and parents? You know why it's easy to sin against them? It's because there's no threat that you're going to lose their relationship. You know, you're getting really close to marriage. You're not going to do everything stupid in front of this girl, this guy, because you might lose them. You're not going to lose your mom. They're not going to say, okay, today, change your name. Your brother's not going to say, okay, I no longer share anything with you except the house and our room. It just doesn't work like that. They're family, and it's just easy to sin against them because there's no threat. You're going to have consequences. Number 6. I feel like this is just such a grocery list. Number 6. Slanderers and gossips are to be avoided. Now it's going to get really tough. Slanderers and gossips are to be avoided. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. You're telling people stuff that you shouldn't. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. How clear is that? Don't associate with a gossip. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Listen, a person who is a gossip ought to feel very lonely around a godly person. Avoid being around them. Avoid giving them the privilege of your fellowship. Why? Because the venom they spread, as well as the temptation they fall into, will be easy for you to enjoy. And you'll like what they say. We keep joking about it, but let me read you the verse in context. We talked about it last week. Proverbs 18, verses 6 to 8. A fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a whisperer or a gossip are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. Gossip is a dainty morsel. It is a Scotch mallow from See's Chocolate. If you don't know what that is, you should. It's caramel with a little bit of marshmallow on top, all encased in dark chocolate. And when you swallow that thing, you just think about one thing. I want to swallow it again. I want to get another one. I want more and more and more. That's the picture here. It goes down and you want more. That's what gossip is like. It's attractive. It's a dainty morsel. It's easy to involve yourself in. We love to talk about others and what's wrong about them. It's one of the most evil parts of our sinful souls. And you know why? Back to James. Because we're the judge. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what they need. We know what they should do. And even if we don't, we just like talking about what they've done wrong or what we think is wrong. Number 7. Gossip is at its worst when it's a lie. Gossip is at its worst when we lie, when it's a lie. The Bible calls gossip and slander that is not true. This is the language for that. Bearing a false witness. Saying something about someone that's not true. That's what it means to bear a false witness. It's one of the 10 commandments to not participate in. Bearing a false witness. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie about them behind their back. That's the point. Don't exaggerate worse than it is. Don't understate what it is. There's an amazing account of John the Baptist preaching, and some of the dishonest soldiers were asking what they would need to do to honor God. And this is what John answered them. It's incredible. Luke 3:14. Some of the soldiers were talking to John the Baptist and saying to him, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Don't take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely. Be content with your wages." They were saying, "John, what do we need to do to be right with God?" One of the things he brings up is that commandment. Don't falsely accuse people. This is especially difficult, as John the Baptist was saying to these soldiers, this is especially difficult when you have a position of authority, when you have the power for people to hear your words and respond. You're never more defiled than when you are lied about, and you're never aware that the person is not there to defend themselves. You feel defiled when you're spoken of, especially when it's not true. You know what it typically is? It's not entirely true. Remember, there's a context to everything. Don't interpret the whole by the part. Some people do that in biblical interpretation. What if you just open your Bible and just believe one word and open the Bible and believe another one? What if you open your Bible and it says, "Judas went out and hanged himself," and you said, "I don't like that verse today." So you turn another one and says, "Go and do likewise." Put those together. What kind of hermeneutic is that? There's more to the story than what you're hearing. 60 Minutes reported one of the widely distributed sensational weekly papers that's always facing you when you check out of the grocery stores. You know those papers that are the tabloids and you're checking out and they're always there? 60 Minutes did an expose on them and said to one of the editors, "Do you really believe that the people believe what they read in there?" They said no, but they like to read it anyway. Really? You want to read about slanderous gossip that's not true just because it's slanderous and gossip? You might think these readers are stupid, but you ever believe things that have no proof except the word of a person who's trying to bring another down? You're no better than a person buying those silly tabloid newspapers. Number 8. Gossip is still gossip, even if it's true. Gossip is still gossip, even if it's true. You say, what do you mean by that? If you're intending to bring someone down with something that's true about them, that's still gossip. That's still slandering them. Remember what we saw in Proverbs 17:9. He who covers a transgression seeks love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. If you hear about someone, let's make it personal. If someone tells you something that they're struggling with, some kind of sin that they've been involved with, something that they're wrestling through, the knee-jerk of the soul of a believer ought to be to cover and to to guard that, not to spread it. Some people can't get out of that conversation fast enough to dial on their cell phones to tell someone what they just heard. You know, just recently, excuse me, I saw this go down with some friends, and it separated intimate friends. Person A tells person B that they've been struggling in their relationship with purity with the boyfriend. Person B then went and told three other people so that they could get help for the person. Let's just say the help never happened, but the friendship ended. If we know of a shortcoming, a sin, a weakness, an embarrassing fact about another person, should we be the leak to the press about it if we love Jesus Christ? Love should treat this sensitive information like it would hope to be treated itself. Someone has said that the difference between a gossip and a concerned friend is like the difference between a butcher and a surgeon. Both cut meat, but for very different reasons. It's very true. Perhaps you've been safe so far. You don't consider yourself a gossip. You don't do a lot of slandering. You're on the quieter side of the personality spectrum. Number 9. Well, we're going to invite you into our pain. Listening to gossip is as bad as telling it. Listening to gossip is as bad as telling it. Listen to Psalm 15. We love Psalm 15. The qualifications for a worshiper. Psalm 15. Oh Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Answer, he who walks with integrity, works righteousness, speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. Here it is. Nor takes up a reproach against his friend. The Hebrew there has the idea of giving and taking. You don't entertain gossip about a friend. You don't listen to a reproach against a friend. You push it back on the person. How willing are you to listen to gossip? Are you easy to gossip to? Remember when I said, separate yourself from the gossiper, not the person gossiped about? Let me tell you a quick way to do that. Someone starts gossiping, just says, hang on. Why are you telling me this? And if they go to church, they'll usually say, well, brother, we need to pray. Just want you to be aware so you can help, so you can pray. Why are you telling me this? Secondly, say, I am assuming, since you claim to know Christ, that you've spoken to this person yourself about what you're telling me. This is usually the answer. First word, always the first word. Well, I'm going to. Or we've talked a bit about it. Say, well, that's good, because I'm going to tell them what you just told me, so I can help them. Wait a minute. You're really going to tell them what I'm saying? Well, sure. Give them the 24-hour rule. This is the best answer against gossips and slanders. Someone begins gossiping and slandering someone in your presence, just say, I don't want to hear all this, but I'll tell you what. I want you to go tell this person what you've just told me, because in 24 hours, I'm going to talk to them about this discussion. That will take care of the gossip, or that will take care of your friendship with a gossiper real fast. Can I tell you something that may sound strange? Don't be trustworthy with a gossiper. Don't be trustworthy. Can I trust you? No. Will you keep a secret? Unlikely. Do you promise not to tell anybody? Absolutely not. Can you keep up a confidence? No way. Just tell them up front, hey, not going to do it. Don't listen to gossips. Don't entertain slander. this was several years ago. I was actually in seminary. I remember exactly where I was standing here on the campus. And I was pretty bad. There was a guy that I was saying something that was not very kind about to a friend of mine. I'll never forget his response. I was saying da-da-da-da-da, and he says to me, so when did you talk to him about this? I was kind of shocked. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm assuming that a person who wants to represent Christ and go in the ministry wouldn't gossip and slander. I'm going to assume that about you. I want to assume the best about you. So I'm assuming you've talked to him. Remember that scene with the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz? You know, I'm melting. The only thing left of me was a long hat after he said that. He was right. He was right. Number 10. If I haven't hit you yet, let's let the Holy Spirit hit us all right here. Number 10, God will hold us accountable for every word we speak. There you go. Let's close in prayer, right? God will hold us accountable for every word we speak. Just say that and sit down. Matthew 12, verses 33 and 37. We've looked at this a few times, and we'll look at it again. Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Then he goes on, Jesus does. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. He's talking about your heart's a treasure chest. And what comes out of it is either good or bad. And I say to you that every careless word, listen to this, Matthew 12, 36, every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Think about that. Look at the contrast. Every careless word you speak, you're not being careful about, you're going to render an account for those words. Now, this is one of the most shocking things said in all the Bible about anything, but it's said in reference to our speech and to our words and to our tongues. Listen to this. Very slowly, I will read it for you. Matthew 12, 37. For by your words, you shall be justified. That's the word saved. And by your words, you shall be condemned. That means go to hell. Jesus said that, guys. Was he saying, okay, I'm the megaphone of heaven. Everything comes up to my ears and then I send you to hell or I send you to heaven based on what you say. No, no, no. Just the opposite. He's saying, I can tell if your heart is saved by how you talk. I can tell if you're unsaved by how you talk. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. A perpetual gossip and slanderer has every reason to not have any assurance of salvation. You say, whoa, whoa, where'd you get that? Matthew 12, 37. You prove your justification. You prove your sanctification. You prove your passion for holiness by how you say what you say and what you say. You also demonstrate to the world a heart that's dark and lost and without Jesus Christ, that doesn't understand that he came to die for sinners, that doesn't understand that that salvation price was paid to God on behalf of those who would believe and repent, and that he proved by the resurrection that it was true. If your mouth doesn't speak words of grace, no matter what you say, you will be condemned by your words. Look it up, Matthew 12, 37. Do you take this seriously? Know this, God does. So how are you doing on both sides of the gossip coin? Are you giving or are you receiving? Are you willing to go and make right a relationship you have damaged with your gossip, both to the one talked to and the one talked about? What a glorious week this would be if someone came to you and said, would you forgive me? I have not spoken kindly about you to someone else. Now, if someone does that, the right response is, I would love to forgive you. I would love to forgive you. God's forgiven me so much. It is such a privilege to forgive you. Let's restore our relationship. Don't say, what'd you say, who'd you say it to, and how much did you say? Did you record it? Because I'd like to hear it. Actually, you wouldn't. Are you willing to refuse gossip that comes into your conversations? Are you willing not to retaliate when you know that someone has gossiped about you and only go to the source? Hey guys, listen. All you have to do is live long enough and you will be the object of someone's slander and someone's gossip. If you're sitting there in this wonderful, spiritual, dumbfounded naivete going, well, nobody ever talks about me. Oh, bless your heart. Because I'm talking about you right now. But it's to your face, so it's not gossip and slander. Anyway, it's confrontation. You just got to live long enough and you are going to be the object of gossip and the object of slander. So what do? Do you become the gossip Gestapo, the gossip police? Thou hast gossiped about me. You have to say in King James, gossipeth about me. And thou must repent, thou pagan venomous serpenteth. You don't do that. You know what you do if you're gossiped about? Here you go. Ready? Got your seatbelt on? You find out you're gossiped about it. Here you go. You know what you do? You forgive them. And you pray for them. And you know what you do? You say, I don't know if that's true. And maybe it's not. And I don't know that they should have said that. And maybe they shouldn't. But there's a whole lot that is true about me that they didn't say. And praise God they didn't. Right? I mean, what are you worried about the stuff that people gossip about you about? What if they know the truth? What if they knew what you're thinking about and what you're saying and stuff? I just think, God, thank you. It's just that. It can be so much worse. I know it's not a word, but man, it works good. Worser. Don't be a gossip. Don't entertain gossip. Because you belong to Jesus Christ, he's not a gossiper, and his kids look like him. Father, give us faithful grace to recognize the slipping of our own tongues into gossip, the reception of our own ears tuned to gossip and slander, and to be gracious when we're the objects, to be gracious when we're correcting, and to be sensitive when we're sharing it. Tune our lips to sing and to say your praise and gospel truth. We could be mad at so many people who would gossip to us about us. But you've forgiven us of so much more than people even know. Make us aware and sensitive to our need for and our experience of grace. Because of Jesus, we pray this. Amen.